You're listening to Cat Tales.
Hi, and welcome to Cat Tales. Matthew Ferraro's written, arranged and produced original music for Academy Award-winning films like The Insider and The Incredibles, as well as Emmy-winning TV shows such as Futurama, Dune and Olive the Other Reindeer. If that wasn't enough, he also includes video games Spider-Man and X-Man, BBC Radio 4 productions and hundreds of commercials amongst his portfolio, and he's even produced a score for Prayers by Pope John Paul II. The California Arts Council deemed Matthew Ferraro's work to be orchestral journalism, which seems very fitting given that he has just released his debut single, created especially for a new short musical documentary film simply called Falling. This is the one with Matthew Ferraro. Matthew, welcome to the show. That's all I can say. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm really glad to be here. Thank you.
Oh, brilliant. I just want to hear your story, to be honest, Matthew. I want to hear all about it because you've done so many brilliant things. Perhaps the best place to start is the documentary that you've been doing, the short documentary called Falling. Tell me all about that because that's quite amazing.
So Falling is a project that just sort of happened, and it was, COVID-19 has really been quite a, it's changed the world. And when that, I think it's really been, COVID-19's had a domino effect. I think it's really sort of exploited a lot of the cracks in society. And I've always liked to do work that sort of deals with different issues. It's just kind of one of those things that I enjoy. But COVID really threw me. And, for the first couple of weeks, I don't know about everyone else, but we were panicking. And I think a lot of people were. We were just, because we didn't know what was going on. You know, you hear global pandemic and you think, you know, what is it? You know, it was so contagious. You didn't know. It was like, it seemed like it was everywhere. So it took us a couple of weeks just to kind of get our head around it. And then, you know, everything stopped. And, you know, all I had, a bunch of work and projects and some tours that I was going to do. And all of that just stopped. And it was very, very disorienting to myself, and I think a lot of people. And then we were getting so much conflicting information from the news. And from there, you know, then the economy seems like it started going down in the tank, and then we've had, you know, the issues with the racial tensions. And I think we weren't getting any really good leadership from the federal government. But then you'd flip on TV and you'd hear celebrities and newscasters being like, we're all in this together. And pardon my French, but I just thought that was just a lot of bull. And it just didn't feel like we were all together. It felt like a lot of people were lost at sea in different types of boats, for lack of a better, you know, some people, you know, you hear, some people are, you know, celebrities in their yachts, you know, off, you know, somewhere in the Caribbean, another one on a mountaintop, somewhere isolating themselves, even in the UK, you know, you hear about the king and the queen and in one of their castles, and then everyone else is kind of, just didn't feel like we were in it together. And so one evening I was talking to another friend of mine who's an artist, and she's an older woman and she's very talented, and she does a lot of big public sculpture commissions. And we were talking, it was myself, my wife, and her husband. We were talking online, and it was just, it was really odd because it was really, it really hit me that we were talking through the glass. And it was almost like, four people in two different fish bowls, talking to each other. And we couldn't, there was no sense of tactileness. And, you know, sometimes a signal would come in out, and it's almost like you could have been in different planets.
Yeah.
And I just remember that feeling of just angst from my friends, and just this feeling of disorientation and what's going on. And so it just sort of felt that we were falling. And that was sort of what kind of hit me. And after I had that conversation, it was the first time since the crisis had started, which had been over a month, where I left the conversation, and between that and dinner, I jotted down the entire lyric for the piece. And additionally, you know, I have family members that you know suffer from addiction, and so who've come through it and work with a certain part of society, and you just feel there's a lot of people feeling angst, and I just think that, but the messaging you get from the media is, oh, don't worry about it, but we're not going to tell you what to do because we don't really know what to do. So it's just so many mixed messages. And I think that uncertainty causes anxiety. There's no question about that. And so I wanted to acknowledge it, you know, and I love the Beatles, and I love so many different bands, but I just couldn't hear another Beatles tribute song by a bunch of different musicians being like, you know, come together and this, and that's all great, or like the Lady Gaga thing that was here. It was all well and good, but it just felt, you know, it just felt insincere to me, because I just think inside people were flipping out. And so that was what was the impetus for the song. I wanted to write a song that acknowledged people's anxiety and at the same time spoke to the times that we live in and spoke to this concept of what humanity is going through in terms of struggling, not just with COVID, but with racism, with women's rights, with global warming. There's so many issues that really require our attention. So I wanted to write something that dealt with that subject. And I wanted to create a piece that acknowledged that anxiety that we're all feeling inside, but then at the same time also acknowledges the fact that we need to reach out to each other and we need to have a conversation with each other. And I think inside people are shouting out for that. But I think it's hard because it's almost like we're in a fog of war. And I think it's, you know, it's interesting how the planet works. It just feels that Mother Nature might be telling us something. And so that was sort of the impetus of the song. And then it was one of those pieces that just came out very quickly for me. I think as an artist, there's those ones that come out fast. There's ones that aren't as fast, but this one came out quickly. And then, I was approached by a journalist who's a filmmaker for German television. And she wanted to create a visual piece around it. And, so I was going to talk to different celebrities and, you know, different people to sing the track. And, but the director said she really liked my voice, which I was surprised because I don't really consider myself a singer. I've worked with so many over the years doing what I do, but I think also, you know, I'm not a younger man anymore, and you know, I'm a middle-aged man, and I think your voice changes, and so. It was one of those things where I just thought, well, if she really likes it, and then the producers really liked it, and I kept hearing that, so I just figured, you know, why not? Fine, I'll sing the track. And for me as a composer and an artist, it's sort of representing a new phase part of my work. And so it's just one of those things that really kind of happened organically. And so that's then, amazing. Thank you. So from there, I've worked in the UK for many years, and you know, I went to university there, and as I told you, I have a love affair with that country. And I really do. I love all of the people of the UK. And so one of my publishers based in the UK, so they wanted to get involved with it. And so it was just, again, it just kind of just sort of happened. And
the story behind that's incredible. But what's amazing there for me, you know, Matthew, is the fact that it started off with one little spark of an idea, didn't it, with the COVID. And that got you thinking and looking at the world and observing everything else that was happening. And then, and I think you're right, there's been this, it's all like a domino effect, isn't it, of everything that's happened around it with, it's almost like an awakening of the world as I see it. And you've actually captured that so brilliantly in this track, Falling. It's quite incredible. And what I love is it finishes off with about, well, the word love. It finishes off about that togetherness, doesn't it? Was that a deliberate act to finish off with that?
Yes, I think that it's a great question. To me, love is the answer to everything. I mean, if you go back to John Lennon, it really is. And if, you know, if you look at the five wisdom traditions, love is really, it's more than just the feeling you get, you know, with someone that you might fall in love with. Mm-hmm. Love is an act of commitment.
Yeah.
And love is an act of committing to other people. And it's an act of being able to listen. It's an act of being able to have a dialogue. And so it's love is an act of sacrifice for another person. And so for me, that was that without exception, love, I see love as the answer to all of this. And it sounds cliche, but to me, love just doesn't mean that feeling you get in the pit of your stomach. Mm-hmm. Love is about, you know, how do you get through life's million wrinkles?
Yeah.
You know, how do you show someone else that you care? You know, how do you find empathy for things that you don't understand? That's what love is about. So this song was to sort of report on a time in history, but then also look for what I think people are feeling and people are craving and what could also offer a solution. And I think people are craving to be loved and understood. So that was why I left the ending with that message of loving one another.
Yeah, that's beautiful, because it's almost like you've taken us through a journey, haven't you, of like, you know, it's not what this is wrong with the world, but it's almost like the issues and the contentiousness of what's going on at the moment with COVID, as you say, with the Black Lives Matters movement coming up as well, and the inequalities and all those different things from, you know, from humanity to environment are all brought to the forefront. And then you finish it off with almost like the solution that if you just focus on this, then that will be the answer. That's how it felt to me. I'm not sure whether that's what you intended, Matthew, but that's what it felt to me.
I appreciate you saying that. I think you're exactly right. That's what I wanted to do. And I really do appreciate you saying that, because, you know, this is kind of the first time I've ever written something that I've sung. And so, you know, it was very, I'm still nervous about it, because you don't know.
It's lovely.
Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate that, because you don't know how it's going to be received. And you want, it's really a song of hope and a song of reaching out. And I think it's hard to move forward, I think, with anything that we deal with, any problem you try to solve, whether it's math, sciences, humanities, or just, you know, inner relationships, you have to first acknowledge what's going on. And that's what I wanted to do with this. You know, I think my work was called Orchestral Journalism here in the States, because there's a journalistic aspect to it. And I say that humbly. I mean, I thought it was kind of, when the moniker was attached to it, I thought it was kind of like, what? But it's really true. What interests me is the fact that we live in a time where journalism is blurred. And it's been blurred by the people at the top. And I think it's what is truth right now? And in a society, when you lose truth and you lose goodwill, that's when societies are really in danger. Democracy is a concept completely built on goodwill. Mm-hmm. Once the goodwill crumbles, then so does the democracy. And so, this for me was kind of my way of reporting on this time and hoping that people will understand, because I think these issues we face are all very solvable. You know, the question is, do we have the goodwill towards each other to really listen and to try and move forward and find solutions to the problems that we're facing right now?
Another day, I'm all alone. It's shattered pieces inside me, filled with anxiety. I don't understand my own homeland. United in blindness, divided we are. Common. It's not ending today, not ending tomorrow. The challenges of our world are leaving hatred and sorrow.
I'm fail us time and time again. Left or right, they don't know the meaning of our pain. Falling, calling out.
Hi, I'm Matthew Ferraro, and you're listening to Cat Tales.
What I find great there, actually, is the fact that you're referring to, like, the music as the modern-day journalism. And looking back in history, that's exactly where music started, wasn't it? It was almost like telling the tales that people wouldn't, to the common people, shall we say, where there wasn't any other method of getting that message out there. And it's so great that you're taking up that spirit of telling us the stories that perhaps people have overlooked.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, because music is a form of storytelling. And I think, you know, our lives are stories, right? And I think memory, you know, human memory is a story. And I think the human experience is a series of stories. So for me, storytelling is very, very important. It's critical. So, and that's just my, I'm sure other people think other things, but for what I like to do, that's how I can contribute as an artist. I like to be part of the, I'm a big believer, I want to be part of the solutions rather than the problem. Okay. And so in doing that, you know, it's about how can you relate an experience to another human being.
Yeah.
So that was sort of the goal.
Yeah, lovely. And I get that completely. So we've got Falling. It's your debut single, though, isn't it, as a recording artist in your own right? But you're not new, are you, to music at all? You refer to yourself there as a little bit of a, I'm not going to say veteran, because that's a bit, that sounds a bit cruel, but you said something about being older.
Well, it is a debut. I didn't expect that I was going to end up singing this, as I've said, because usually I'm writing for other artists, and I'm one of those composers where I enjoy diversity, and I enjoy diversity in all parts of my life, in my relationships, in food, everything. And so I get bored easy with different projects. If I had to, I work in film and television, and I did that for a fair amount of time. But, once you do something once for me, with me, I like a different challenge. And so this has sort of represented a new challenge, because, I literally all the time through this project, and I still say to myself, like, oh my gosh, am I just a complete crazy idiot for trying to do something like this? It's not like I'm looking to become, a pop singer or anything. But I was talking with my wife about it, and it's just a new form of expression for me as an artist. And so if it's there, then I'll go there. It was funny, because before this, I was working on a piano commission, a series of pieces of piano pieces that focus on water, and all the different meanings of water. And it was completely instrumental, and I've written a fair amount of instrumental music. So this was, it was sort of strange. And the other part of it too, for me, it was, I myself felt a lot of anxiety through this. And I felt a lot of angst and uncertainty and worry, and even at times panic. And it was a nice way for me to sort of release that out of myself. And when I sang the track, when you vocalize something, it's like when you read, sometimes if you read out loud to yourself, you absorb it more. And I think the same went with this, with emotions and the way I was feeling. I really just felt I had to release them. And so that was part of it too. So in some ways, maybe it was a selfish exercise, I don't know, but it was something that I kind of felt like I needed to do just to get it out. It was like I was exercising demons or something.
Yeah, part of that healing process by the sound of it. That's amazing. I love that idea.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, healing, and I think healing is, that's a very critical word, because I think healing is what we need now.
Yeah.
I think on a geopolitical level, I think the world feels fragmented, and it just, and I think a fragmented world is going to become a dangerous world, and I think we need to have healing amongst people, because when you think about what humans are capable of, you know, from what we've done in science, you know, just we sent another person to the moon. It's very impressive, and it would be nice if we could return to that type of a journey where we're moving forward with humanity rather than backwards.
Yes, absolutely, and using it for the right reasons, isn't it? That intelligence and that invention to actually forward mankind rather than stumping the growth of humanity. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah,
exactly.
So it's really interesting there that you've moved into that area, haven't you, of releasement and talking about things that matter. But your history, as you say, is about composing, isn't it, in terms of original music for all sorts of things. You've done Academy Award winning films, haven't you, like The Incredibles, and you've done TV shows like Olive the Other Reindeer, and video games even like Spider-Man the Game. I mean, you've got a quite an eclectic mix there of composing. Did this feel like a departure from all that?
Oh, most certainly did. The other times that I've been hired in those different situations for film and television, you know, film and TV is part art, part craft. And I kind of felt very much like I was just a hired gun, for lack of a better metaphor.
Yeah.
And, but at the, you know, it's a very, very, satisfying experience writing for film and television. Once you get to the end of it, the process is very difficult because it's a lot of consensus building with, you know, the people at the studio and people that you're working with. And so it's a different sort of a discipline. So this was, you're right, this was sort of a departure for me. And something that I think, again, because of the circumstance, you know, I'm asthmatic, so I'm considered comorbid.
Mm-hmm.
And so with this whole pandemic right now, you know, it changed my life, because I'm kind of sort of housebound, and I have a studio where I live, and until there's solutions, you know, there's therapeutics developed, until there's a vaccine. I've spent a lot of my life traveling and working in different places around the world, but, you know, I can't get in an airplane now.
Yeah.
You know, I can't even really go to a restaurant right now because I'm considered high risk.
Yeah.
So for me, it was a departure to a degree. I've worked with a lot of different vocalists over the years, and different singers, and choral groups, and all sorts of different fashions. But the actual process of singing something was definitely a departure for me, without question.
Yeah, I can see that, because it's almost like interpreting something for somebody else's project, isn't it, when you're composing a piece of music to fit in with all these different scenarios. Whereas with Falling, it's very much your own voice and talking about, this is my thoughts in entirety, rather than interpreting somebody else.
That's absolutely well said.
Mm.
And that's exactly it. When you're working in film and television as a composer, your whole role is to fulfill the vision of the director.
Yeah.
And so you're there to serve their vision. And so it's very different when you get into writing a song. It's a much more personal experience.
Mm.
And so for me, it's been, it's actually been quite therapeutic for me. And it's funny, because I think there's a lot of creativity coming out right now, coming out of humanity through this time. And I think that's really exciting. Because I think as human beings, especially in the West, you know, we're very, very work driven. And which is great. You know, it's great to be motivated, but I think sometimes for ourselves and, you know, to do things in a manner that actually helps us, like I said, kind of heal, to use your word, or, you know, and so I think, you know, taking time out. I mean, one of the great things, you know, we have a dog that has kind of become our child. And, you know, so we, baby. You know, yeah, totally, our furry baby. You know, but in this whole experience, though, has you know, it kind of makes you realize what's important in life.
Yeah.
You know, and relationships. And, you know, understanding each other and spending time with each other and being able to, like I said, being able to listen. It's all, I think it's all interrelated and all interconnected.
Yeah.
But you're exactly right. It's different. The process of songwriting is much different than writing for television and film because
yeah.
you're doing it based on your own experience.
But you've done some great things and amazing things. I mean, I'm just looking at your portfolio here on your website, and the one that immediately catches my eye is John Paul II and doing something around Colours of Love, which sounds amazing. I mean, I have watched the video, so it's good to actually see that. But do you want to tell me a little bit about that? Because that's a little bit along the lines of where we're talking about in terms of, you know, thinking about ourselves and self-being and maybe spirituality and stuff. But how did that one come about?
So the Pope John Paul project is a crazy story, and that was something I originally was commissioned by the Jesuits to write music for them, and I was very influenced by that because the Jesuits are an interesting group. They're the most educated part of the church. And I was raised Catholic, and if anything, you know, I'm probably more of a recovering Catholic now than anything else. But spirituality has always been a part of my life, and I think it goes back to Plato. Some artists believe they're there to serve something outside themselves, and that's what I've always believed. I just believe, as I said earlier, that I wanted to be part of the solution. And so what happened with the Vatican project and the prayers of Pope John Paul II was, I was given the rights to an assortment of prayers that Pope John Paul II wrote. And, it was kind of it's a crazy story. I mean, first, I did some work with the Jesuits, and then my older brother called me, and he said, "Hey, Matt, there's another project," and I don't even know why it was from him, but I ended up I was also working with a director who wanted to do an IMAX version of the Mass, and so he asked me if I wanted to go to Rome and if I could maybe. If I knew anyone there, and I'd known some people from the Jesuits that I'd work with. So, I said to him, I said, "Yeah, that's great. If you can take my wife with me, we'll go, you know." I was like, "Oh, great. Free trip to Rome. Totally cool. I'm in." Right.
Why not?
I ate my way through that city. The food is just extraordinary.
Yeah, I get that too.
Spaghetti is like in my blood.
Yes.
But so when I was there, I was, you know, was presented to me, you know, what would you do with this? And if you know anything about Pope John Paul II, you know, he was the rock star pope, the pope that, you know, if you remember, Bono put his glasses on him.
Yeah.
And he was kind of transcendent of the church. Like, he hated being in the church. He was the first pope, the first pontiff to actually point to the concept of pluralism, which is pretty crazy. And there's a document that he wrote called Dominus Jesus. It's one of his encyclicals. And it's a document that talks of this concept of, you know, having, you know, who can come to the table of humanity. And I think oftentimes, you know, religion's really about market share, right? And all religions kind of, you know, everyone wants their followers. But here, this man, he was really about, well, actually, you know what? There's room for everyone. And in the Conference of Assisi, he brought all the religions together. And he was really about that. And Dominus Aesius kind of talked to that concept of bringing the Hindu, bringing the Jew, bringing the Buddhist, bringing all of them to the table, bringing the atheist, bringing everyone, and sharing in this concept of what we call humanity. And so that I found really inspiring. And so I thought it would be interesting to create a work where we would have different artists from around the world perform his prayers in that message of plurality and unity. And so it was a crazy, crazy odyssey of a journey. I mean, it took like over 10 years. Because when you deal with the Vatican, it's like pushing the Titanic, right? And so, you know, I was kind of like the fly between elephants in that one. Because when I first was given the project, that was kind of, you know, I was asking myself, why me? And I still don't really know why, but it led me on a journey that was life changing. Because you see just all the suffering around the world. I mean, there are a lot of people suffering. But you also see a lot of acts of love and kindness around the world, too. And so it changed my life, and it really opened up my heart to different, how do I explain this, different realities.
Yeah.
And how people live and how people express and how people love and how people release. And so, you know, the Hindus believe, you know, life is a series of tension and release, right? It's a big thing. And I think that project was just life changing for me because, you know, here was a man who hated being in the walls of the Vatican. He wanted to be out and out amongst the people. And so it just felt like it was really big shoes. And then, you know, apart from that, you know, was getting artists to perform, right? I mean, there were some artists, you know, and I talked to so many. I mean, I talked to hundreds of artists, you know, from the not so famous to the very, very famous. And, you know, I mean, just it was a heck of a challenging project because, as you know, the church can be very, very controversial, and it certainly is. But I think, you know, if you look past it, I mean, it's really just comes, I think Desmond Tutu had it right. You know, it's spirituality is about humanity. And so with that project, that was what I think it gave me. It sort of increased my understanding of humanity and what it means to be human, what it means to struggle, what it means to feel pain, but then move past it, right? What it means to love someone unconditionally. You know, I mean, I can honestly say, I mean, there were 2-3 years where I was home, like maybe, you know, 2 weeks a year on that project. And it, you know, but my wife, I mean, it taught me unconditional love from her because she just supported me so wholly in that. So it was, and then just the musical experience of it all was insane. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. I mean, just when you witness the amount of inspiration and talent. I mean, I was in Mali, Africa, recording tracks, and you know those. You know the Malians. I mean, they. You know, music is in their soul. It's just such a big part of them. You know, and there are times when you get talent in a room, and you know, once that you put on, you know, once they get behind the mic and you flip the on switch on, all of a sudden it's like electricity.
Yeah.
You know, it's like something happens. And so, and there were times where I really believe in that project, And I think the people who were involved in it were, you know, it was very inspirational. And so it just felt like we were trying to do something great. But there were those moments, I think, for an artist where you want to really see if you can touch something transcendent, you know, or really maybe you can reach the sublime. And I don't know if we did, but the experience of it certainly, there were moments where it felt like you were just kind of barely tickling something that was beyond you.
Yeah.
And that was what was another part of that project that was just so incredibly special. Because there were moments where people just would exhibit such generosity and such purity of heart in terms of the way they would perform. Mm-hmm. So it was, that was a life changer for me. It just really made me realize that we're all in this together, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, I don't think, you know, whether or not you believe in God or, you know, that's not really the issue. The issue is, you know, when you look at the planet from space, there are no boundaries. You know, it's one planet. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, our world has become, again, so fragmented. But I think when you look at it as a whole, I just, it doesn't feel like it's so fragmented to me. It feels like it's one place. You know, it's one, you know, for lack of a better analogy, it's one blob of, you know, of a sphere spinning around, you know, in the infinite, you know, beauty of space.
Yeah.
So that's what was so amazing about that project.
Yeah.
And I think JP2 kind of got that. He was really about, like Tutu, like Desmond Tutu, about, you know, spirituality is about humanity. That's what it's about.
That's wonderful. And I think that's such a
fascinating story. That answered your
question.
I don't know if it was...
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a fascinating story. It's incredible, really. And I've just been looking at the rest of your portfolio thinking that, you know, you seem to have been led by things that are important to you. And that's almost like being a bit of a journey. Not all of it has been in the same sort of vein as that. I mean, you've got the Muppets down there, for example, but that might have been a completely different experience, but one of maybe learning as well, because that sounds to me like that's important.
Oh yeah, I mean, well, the Muppets was, you know, how could anyone not want to work with the Muppets?
Well, yes, exactly.
Right, and so it was a track that I was asked to arrange and produce. It was called Kermambo.
Love that.
Yeah, and it was just, you know, I mean, that says it all, you know, say no more. that was just a gig that was just really fun. And that was one of those gigs where, you know, where there's times in my journey where, you know, I walked into that one in the studio and, you know, there were artists in there, you know, who I grew up listening to. So, you know, when you walk into a room and you, there's just a, with just amazing talent, it's those are the things that I think as composers we live for,
yeah.
You know, because you want someone who can interpret music, you know, in the best way possible. So it's just, you know, it's like when you go to an amazing restaurant that's just unbelievable, or when someone finds a doctor who just gets everything right,
yeah.
You know, it was just fun. I mean, the Muppets was just, you know, just pure fun.
It sounds like you've had such amazing things in your career. Matthew, I tell you what, we could speak all night or all day from your perspective, all night from mine. But we can't do that because I'm sure you've got a whole day of activity.
Yeah, I appreciate you even, you know, I'm honored that you would even find any of my work of interest. So,
it's lovely. It's fascinating.
So I appreciate you asking me, you know, questions. So I've been very lucky, I guess, but it's, you know, everyone has their different journey, and I just think it's important that whatever people do, you know, they for me, it was always my parents always told me, follow your heart, and then the rest will come.
Yeah.
And I that's something that I would encourage others to do. Follow your heart.
And great advice that is, isn't it, really? That's wonderful. Oh, Matthew, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. It's been fascinating listening to your stories. I'm sure there's plenty more to go. So we must do this again a little bit later on and catch up on the rest of it.
Yeah, I would love to. I mean, I really appreciate you wanting to talk to me, and I'd be happy to do this again with you whenever you'd like. By the way, too, Kat, you have a very cool sounding voice.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind
See how people, you really do. Like, yeah, I could see how it would be very radio friendly. It's very soothing, and I dig your voice.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you so much, Matthew. That's really kind of you to say so. That makes me feel good, too. You see, humanity is big hug from across the pond. Hug.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
You take care, and I'll speak to you soon. Okay. Most definitely. Good luck
bye-bye.
With everything.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Cattails.
To listen again to this and other tales, go to cattails.co.uk.